It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio. It's on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it is on the radio. We are going to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. Bill Moss, great to have you back after a slight holiday hiatus. Hope you had great holidays, and Happy New Year to you, and a Happy New Year to the Lightning.
Happy New Year to you as well, Mark. Glad to be back after that holiday hiatus here on Lightning Radio, and Happy New Year to all the community.
That's right.
For another year as we churn on into year 11 of the Hendersonville Lightning and of Lightning Radio.
11 years old. I love it. Bill, we've got a lot to cover because even though the holidays have come and gone, the news never stops in this town. So let's hit it, and the Lightning certainly covers it all. Let's talk about, first of all, something that the Lightning is the only news has given the only news coverage to this story, and that is the Opportunity House. There is more to the Opportunity House saga. Fill us in, Bill.
Yeah. It doesn't have a string as long as the 7-year string of Hendersonville High School,
right?
In terms of making the top stories of the year.
Yeah.
But I think this is on. I know it's on about year 5 because we started covering in 2018. The lawsuit was filed. We're talking about a lawsuit against the Opportunity House filed by the Community Foundation of Henderson County, and that was in December of 2018.
Right.
All of that commotion with that started in about February of that year. So this does have quite the life to it, and it is close to coming to an end. Now dissolved as nonprofit and under the control of a court-appointed receiver, you'll recall, Mark.
Yeah.
The Opportunity House is likely going on the market soon, at least sometime this year, or possibly be sold to a nonprofit. Is all in the works. Based on the Lightning's research, investigation, interviews of court filings by the receiver and the Community Foundation, and orders by Superior Court Judge Peter Knight, who will at some point fairly soon help guide the process for, like I say, the sale of the dissolved corporation, its building and its 2-acre parcel, now valued, interestingly, on the tax books at $1.7 million, so a little bit less than the $1.9 million it was. I think this is the new revalued value of the Opportunity House, which, by the way, all property owners will, in about mid-February, get their notice of the new valued property. That's a different story we'll talk about in the coming weeks.
So let me ask you this. Who owns the property? Who's going to be
the recipient? Well, it would be owned. I think where we sit right now, it would be owned by the Opportunity House. I think it's incorporated as the Opportunity Group, Inc. And I'm glad you asked that question because that gives us the opportunity. It's interesting that in its response filed in the court, the foundation recounted the history of the Opportunity House from its origins at First Methodist Church in the 1950s to its – this is a name people will love to hear that have been in the community a long time – to its move to a house purchased by Grace Etheridge and later donated to the nonprofit, and then its move in 1981 to the old A&P supermarket property at 1411 Asheville Highway.
A&P, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And during its service over 6 decades, the Op House, you might recall, it offered programs in arts and crafts, dance, foreign language, hosted lectures and art exhibits, and was used as a meeting place for civic clubs, political parties, bingo fans, and bridge players. This history, the Community Foundation points out, makes clear that before the issues that have arisen under the Opportunity House's current management team, boy, that was some management team, wasn't it? The organization and its buildings were a central part of and a vital contributor to life for residents of Henderson County. And they go on to make the point that you, the judge, you, the attorney general, which has a role in making sure that the proceeds of an enterprise like this that gets in the ditch and dissolves itself does not is not squandered away or otherwise directed to places it ought not go. The foundation pointedly cautioned that the receiver and judge should, quote, closely scrutinize creditors' claims, including claims for reimbursement, loan payments, and other financial requests from current and former employees and board members, consultants, quote, or any other such insiders, end quote. So thank goodness we have, again, the Community Foundation, which legally in a court of law brought this up 5 years ago and said, we just don't know if this organization is still a nonprofit and is it serving the public as nonprofits are supposed to. So process is underway. John Knorr, an Asheville attorney, is the appointed receiver. John Knorr is I know him through coverage. I think is a person of integrity, and this is being scrutinized, so that's a good thing.
Well, I'm glad you talked about that rich history of the Opportunity House. I can remember when Lucy Perky was running it, and it was a flutter of activity all the time. There was always something going on.
They had in the maybe not 10,000, but in the thousands of paying members.
Oh yeah,
that paid dues. I've seen it and reported it from their IRS tax filings as far as what that revenue was. But it was robust.
Yep.
Bridge, Dainson, art exhibits.
It was a great
political. Yeah. I spoke to the old what was it? The old Golden something. The little Kiwanis Club that met in the morning there. As editor of the Times News, I spoke to them a couple times there.
We carried live political debates from there. We used to do a live broadcast every Friday morning before the Apple Festival for their big arts and crafts sale, all that sort of thing. So it's a shame to see it go the way it has gone, but. Things change. Things move on. Thus the next story. A place where I used to spend many Friday evenings for pizza and a movie night with our kids, the old Blockbuster.
Things do move on.
Yes.
The old from DVDs.
Yes.
To streaming, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And thus, that well-known and loved Blockbuster we're talking about
is gone now.
On Four Seasons Boulevard. You saw it gutted.
Get behind the scenes on that.
The steel framework sitting there like, what's going on with that? Raising Blockbuster, it turns out, Mark, clears the way for a new traffic signal at Henderson Crossing Plaza.
Oh, really?
Yes. And our friend and a good source of ours, Eric Goodman of Southern Commercial Corporation, says that this new signalized entrance and exit at Henderson Crossing Plaza, could make the shopping center way more appealing to possibly some well-known retail
tenants. It could use some
tenants.
Help.
He's had conversation. Eric Goodman runs the commercial. Well, he's a commercial broker, and he's one that, you know, negotiates with and tries to recruit tenants the Lorne Wells family, which is owned, the heirs of Lorne Wells, and Bill Hale, who was always the finance guy for Lorne. He owns it. The family owns it, and they try to recruit tenants. And tenants look at it and say, "Oh, we love the Four Seasons Boulevard and the 60,000 vehicles per day that go right by here." And they go, "Ooh, we don't like this chaotic, hazardous in and out you got here, with no left turn signal." So the new turn signal directly, you know, there is a turn signal at Linda Vista on the other side of it. So now directly aligned. They'll be left in, left out to Henderson Cross. They're going to close a driveway. There's a couple other driveways there. Well, the one that's misaligned, I think they'll close.
That takes you to Denny's.
The one on the Dana Road side of Denny's. I'm not exactly sure which one. They're going to close one or both of those driveways.
Okay.
So that'll really clear things up in and out. So what do we see? Can you say Red Lobster? Can you say something else that we don't have? Maybe,
absolutely.
Maybe national, maybe regional.
Right. You know, we had Fats Cafe there that just up
Fats
and
Cafe.
Went away.
Yeah. Our old friends at Times News were there.
Yeah.
The TV.
Right.
Before that, the TV. Remember the TV?
I sure do.
The electronics store was there.
And Rex's.
In that corner.
Yep.
And what was the anchor?
Bilo.
Bilo was the anchor.
Which I missed because it's right around the corner here. So, well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
That sounds like positive positive news coming in as far as change is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of change, you were talking about the Opportunity House and what it might become. I was thinking to myself, maybe your brewery?
I thought I'd say
more to come on that.
A brewery, distillery, or winery. It seems to be the cottage industry along with auto parts stores that we cannot have enough of.
Right, exactly. And speaking of,
yeah,
we're losing...
Libation Nation News. We actually do need more dry cleaners now.
Yeah, exactly.
Since we're down to two. But this Carolina Cleaners, which has been gone from the dry cleaning business for a while, if you drive by there now, it's all gutted. You can see it's got big openings like the breweries love to have. Carolina Cleaners. It's going to be a microbrewery and grill called Buddha's, and didn't get a lot of callbacks on this from the contractor, which we pulled from the building permit, or the owner. But that's underway now. The property changed hands in 2021. The brew pub project has been underway, as we say, for a while. Contractor Eli Bedingfield of OK Construction in Zirconia is working on that. He pulled a building permit that said he was going to do $450,000 worth of renovations for it. And another happy hour news, Tyler Hudsader of Jeter Mountain Farm is seeking permit for an on-premise mixed beverage permit as part of a new distillery at the Apple Orchard Event Space and Wedding Venue. And John Turchin of Horseshoe Farm has applied for mixed drinks or a bar to sell beer, wine, and mixed drinks at the bar at the Horseshoe Farm, which is also a big wedding venue event space.
Going back to this brewery, this microbrewery coming to the Carolina Cleaners, is that a local? Is this a local person who is doing this, or is this somebody from out of town coming in?
We actually didn't get the end. We're still bird dogging that as to who is Buddha's. It's not like Buddha, the Indian religious guru. Department, but what's the spelling of that? Boodas, Buddhas, and I don't know if that's a name or a nickname.
We'll
continue to try to find the actual owner, proprietors, and get more information.
Well, not a bad location for a new microbrewery with the head of the Acosta Trail going to be right around the corner from there.
Oh, good point. Very close. The Acosta Trail users they'll be able to go to Buddha's, they'll be able to go to Dry Falls, they'll be able to go to Blue Ridge Beer Garden, and then on just
Sideways Brewery down towards Ottawa, they'll be able to do that.
Yeah. And the development on Witted that Bart Salvaggio and his sister are doing, they'll be able to go to those, they'll be able to go to Pisgah Brewing Company.
All right. And then go all the way down to Oscar Blues.
On the western end, and to Oscar Blues. So you're right. There'll be no shortage of libation on the trail.
Interesting. Hey, we got a lot more to go, like five stories to watch in 23, Four Seasons Politics, and more. You keep it tuned right here to the Q. You are listening to Lightning Radio on WTZQ.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Cold weather is coming, so you'd better be prepared. Kaysen Oil has fuel oil and K1 kerosene readily available. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil, serving our community for over 40 years.
Branding is one of the single most important aspects of your business, and it's not just about a logo and a tagline. You need a brand that raises awareness while staying true to your values and goals. A brand that grabs the attention of customers and makes them want to choose you over your competitors. This is Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative. If your business or nonprofit needs to be more visible, recognizable, and memorable, visit lscreative.studio and click Let's Chat. I'm Lindsay Simpson of LS Creative, and you need me.
Sleep better in 23 with the New Year sales event going on now at Toby's Mattress Superstore. Save up to $600 on Beautyrest Black or Black Hybrid.
Save up to $400 on Harmony Lux or Harmony Lux Hybrid. Or how about this? Save up to $700 on Serta Arctic or up to $800 on Serta iComfort Closeout Mattresses. The New Year sales event. Going on now, but for a limited time, and only at Toby's Mattress Superstore, Spartanburg Highway.
21 minutes after 8 in the morning, we are smack dab in the middle of Lightning Radio here this morning with Bill Moss. Bill, let's move on. We have covered the Opportunity House. We've covered the old Blockbuster and what's happening there. Another brewery coming to town. Five stories to watch in 23. Let's talk about those, Bill.
Yeah, this is a fun one. We got on page 4, editorial, under the headline that you just read. Five stories we're watching in 2023. Starting with, and we'll have some more news on this later this week, county commissioners took up the comp plan 2045. Mm-hmm. They heard a lot of comment about it and commented in response that, gee, this is more than we want to try to tackle in this night meeting. That if we do, we know it will go on for hours. So that is still in the works. They're going to talk about it, probably workshop it some more than once. But we're watching that. Many questions remain ahead of what could be that final vetting, we thought, but that wasn't the case. Where they're going to respond to the community's interest in conserving open land, conserving farmland in particular, not having sprawl,
right?
Having the higher density housing maybe closer into town. So we watch that as time goes on, and we say we're watching not just what commissioners say about these broader goals, but what they do as time goes on. By itself, the comp plan is made up of maps and words on paper. We'll know a lot when we see commissioners vote on a rezoning for a high-density development in an area that the plan sets aside for conservation and low-density growth.
Okay.
In other words, how do they actually vote on
right.
a rezoning request, let's say, maybe out in the country?
Right, exactly. So
number two,
yep.
We're watching water wars. Is this the year commissioners and city council members set aside decades of conflict over water and sewer policies and enter into joint governance on of utilities? County commissioners very strongly want to jointly govern the water and sewer, which is owned by the city of Hendersonville, and worth at last count about $260 million, hasn't bothered to offer to write a check for this half ownership of the system. But and city council is a little bit less enthusiastic about the prospect, but it is in the works. Both city council and county commissioners have endorsed a resolution. I think the city council regards it as we'll look into it, and I think the county commissioner regards it as a fait accompli. So I think we'll see.
Okay.
But we do say that the comp plan experience showed once again that city-county coordination is needed on the critical issue of growth management, and showed how little it actually happens. High-density developments on the outskirts of Hendersonville is likely to account for most of our housing. New housing over the next 25 years, and for purposes of long-range planning for law enforcement, fire protection, K-12 schools, and even parks and green space, the city and county ought to be talking with one another before the groundbreaking for these big projects,
okay. Not
after it's happened. Speaking of high-density growth and growth management in the next 25 years, Upward Road.
It's one of our next the next thing to watch.
Is a thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a candidate for commerce and new housing. It's flat, right?
Yep.
Access has good road system, a 5-lane road or 4-lane divided. Access to I-26. Thus, we have the Blue Ridge Commerce Center,
mm-hmm.
distribution warehouses, possibly manufacturing, and here's that word again. It's already served by water and sewer.
Uh-huh.
A fancified convenience store, gas station, plaza, that Quick Trip.
Yep.
That's coming out there. A Starbucks one approval. There's more growth coming. And Bob Quattlebaum's large clearing, you know that,
yep.
on the I-26 side of
it's big.
Fairfield by Marriott.
Yep.
That 20-some acres or maybe more. That awaits tenants. So keep an eye on Upward Road.
All right.
What else possibly in that neighborhood. Fun and games, we call it. 2023 should be the year that the Board of Commissioners chooses a site and begins design of a sportsplex.
Mm-hmm.
That would be home to soccer fields, pickleball courts, walking trails, and other recreation amenities. You know, remember, you recall they eschewing the request from the nonprofits and from the town of Fletcher for a Fletcher Library Branch. They instead said, no, we're going to spend the last of our ARP, American Rescue Plan money, $2 million, on this recreation complex. That's not the total cost of it, of course. But and then we close this bullet with county staff is looking for land now. Maybe they'll take a windshield tour of Upward Road.
Uh-huh.
It's flat.
Sure it is.
It has access to I-26.
Sure
People
it does.
Know where it is, and they can get to
Interesting.
The new Henderson County Sportsplex, if that is where it is. Rails to Trails, we've already talked about. This year, we're going to see pavement. We're going to see asphalt poured on the corridor, on the ballast, as they call it, of the Acosta Trail. And may, by toward the end of the year, we may be walking on it, riding on it, jogging on it, skating on it.
Wow.
Be pretty cool.
Pretty exciting.
Support is strong in Henderson County. We'll be looking to see if Transylvania County, those stick-in-the-mud folks to our west, finally make a strong endorsement of the trail from Penrose to Brevard, which is roughly half of it. It's 9 miles. And another exciting project, the Saluda Grade Trail, though still in the cradle, we'll be watching for signs at that 31-mile rail trail up that historic railroad grade is moving from concept to concrete.
Speaking of rails to trails, let's skip over Four Seasons politics. We'll come back, and let's talk about that Acosta Trail boost that was just given. Speaking of Brevard and the trail.
Yeah, absolutely. This was, I mentioned in a somewhat pejorative crack, Transylvania County's leaders, but to the contrary of that, the Brevard leaders, the
city.
Brevard, the city of Brevard, very strongly in support. And they, even though it goes, most of it is way beyond their jurisdiction, it's the city of Brevard has said they've agreed to be the management owner. I'm not sure this is all formalized, but they voted that we'll be the management owner like Henderson County is, or the lessee. It actually is a lessee. I think that lease is get ready for it. It might go beyond Lightning Radio. That lease is 150 years.
Wow. Just a little bit.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So that's safe to say. So I don't think that's been executed yet, but Brevard raised its hand because Transylvania County would not and said, we'll be the lessee and we'll manage the construction and do the contract for the work.
Sure.
So they won a $50,000 grant. the city of Brevard is absolutely thrilled and extremely grateful for Comporiums. That's the name of the corporation that gave it. $50,000 donation to the Acosta Trail. Mayor Maureen Kopeloff said the trail will be an asset to our entire community. By linking Brevard and Hendersonville, the trail will provide connectivity for people to get to work, school, shopping, hospitals, and for recreation purposes, and she didn't say, and to microbreweries.
And to microbreweries, exactly. Now let's move on to Four Seasons politics, Bill. Always something going on, even though it's not political season.
Oh, yeah, but we always prove that it always is political season.
Exactly, thank you.
all of these congressmen and legislators are getting sworn in. Apparently Chuck Edwards is there. He's voting, but he can't get sworn in. Because of this deadlock situation.
Exactly. I
guess he's authorized because these are new congressmen and congresswomen that are voting, right?
Right.
It's not the old crowd. But they can't be formally sworn in where you get your children and grandchildren like Chuck Edwards would get Teresa and his that grandson of his.
Well, what happened was a lot of people had family in and they've now had to go back.
I've wondered about that.
They've had to go back.
I mean, do they show up and sit in the gallery and wait for, maybe Kevin will get 218 votes and we can go down there to the floor and watch mama and daddy or grandmama and grandpa get sworn in?
Yeah, I just saw the report. report yesterday that many family members had to train or drive or travel back instead of being able to see the swearing in.
Sorry for that rabbit trail, but I'm trying to get to the top story on Four Seasons Point. We just say commissioners formalize advisory board appointments, which ones they're going to serve as liaison, sort of a newspaper of record kind of report people can read. They'll be interested in one advisory board or another and see which commissioner is going to serve on it. Edwards, the aforementioned, he aims to be first in constituent services. We've had two congressmen since 2012 that arguably put other things first before constituent services.
It certainly happened, yes.
The last one famously came out and acknowledged in a news release that he was going to emphasize comms, and that was apparently the term for communications, which is the term for public relations, which is the term for it's all about me.
How often can I get my face?
And my spin on what's going on. And so this, as we've said, with the adult in the room, my motto, Chuck Edwards said, in the North Carolina Senate was first in constituent services. And that will continue to be my and my staff's motto, serving all the citizens of Western North Carolina. Hendersonville is where I started my career in small business. Owns McDonald's.
Yep.
Started cleaning bathrooms at McDonald's at, what, age 15?
Yep.
And where I learned the value of hard work and integrity. Those same values will be at the heart of my district office, where my staff and I will be ready to serve and advocate for anyone who needs help with federal government agencies. You veterans out there, call him up. You folks that need a grant for some pavement on the ground to ride on one of those trails, call him up.
Yep.
go visit Chris Burns right there at the Grove Street Courthouse.
Absolutely.
He'll be working starting this week.
Bill, let's finish up with a couple of stories here, our final couple of stories. You have the final installment of a story of a family here from years ago.
Yeah, one amendment to that. The penultimate.
Oh.
The penultimate installment.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that
thank
could
you.
Be one of your words for the day.
Penultimate. I'll work on that. Penultimate.
The penultimate, next to last, for those of y'all who need a little reminder.
Yes, thank you.
The penultimate installment where Jerry Brenton's mother, 1903 to 1971, wrote this memoir a long time ago, and her daughter kind of conserved it and I'm sure had to retype it. So Velma Gillespie, people will know that name, both of these names, Gillespie Britton, she writes about how shoes, shortening, and sugar were scarce during the Depression.
Wow.
So check that out. It's a great installment. We got one more really good installment, and that'll go into the record books.
And finally, this is something that happened last year for the first time, and they're doing it again. Obviously, it was somewhat successful. That Travel and Tourism, TDA, is now accepting applications again for tourism grants.
Yeah, this is a good thing. If you have an idea, or if you're a nonprofit or business, businesses get them too, to promote tourism to get, as they say, what is that word?
Heads and beds.
Then you
been
too.
There. I've been there.
I know. Then you too can apply for a piece of this $500,000 in grant funding in three categories: destination marketing grants, destination event grants, and destination enhancement grants. So check all that out by going to event by contacting Amy Boswell at events at visithendersonvillenc.org. If you're driving or can't write that down, go to the hendersonvillelightning.com or look at page 9 on this week's Hendersonville Lightning.
Excellent. And one more thing before we go, Bill.
Couple more things. We do have an Ask Matt. What are those newfangled devices on bridges over creeks such as Mud Creek and Britton Creek? What do they do? They're new flood warning sensors that the city of Hendersonville has installed. Congratulations. A little bit of nonprofit news to executive director Joseph Knight of Hands On Children's Museum.
Right.
Has been named board chair and president of the North Carolina Science Network for the 2023 term.
That's big.
Our friend Julie Hockenberry is moving on to a different role. So leaders of the Henderson County Boys and Girls Club have launched a nationwide search in partnership with Boys and Girls Clubs of America for a new executive director of our great Boys and Girls Club, which is looking and to for a second site.
Big expansion.
It's a big expansion. Yep. So big news there over in the Green Meadows and soon to be beyond the Green Meadows neighborhood. And check out the Henderson County Honoring Veteran Law Officers in Retirement send-off. Congratulations and thank you, Major Eric Summey, the former police chief of Fletcher, who Sheriff Griffin lured back, stole back for the for his apparently final chapter. I told Eric the other night when I saw him, I said, "You're not good at retirement." Captain Brandon Staten and Lieutenant Kevin Holden, and we don't put this in the story, but Captain Brandon Staten, known for his very, very important role for his one-on-one coverage of the Ryan Hendricks family.
Yes.
That was Captain Staten.
Yeah.
He was there 24/7 at the home, anything they needed for Don and Heidi and Ryan's, what, 10 brothers and sisters? Well, they weren't in the home, but that was deeply appreciated by the Hendricks family and the community.
Was.
So congratulations on all three of those law officers getting their sidearm and their badge, and stay safe.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're glad to have them. Well, Bill, there's still, as much as we've covered, there's still plenty more in this week's Lightning. So to really get the behind the headlines, you need to read it from cover to cover. How do people get their copy?
Well, that's exactly right. They need to go out and get a copy at any of the Lightning Orange racks around the county, or really better yet, just to make sure you never miss, you get it online, you get it in your house, go to hendersonvillelightning.com and click on subscribe, which walks you through how to subscribe to the Hendersonville Lightning and join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.